Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a show that's dedicated to the upliftment of underserved communities. As always, we are honored and blessed to be able to come into your home this evening, where we can tell you our stories. We can tell you the victories. We can tell you the trials, the tribulations. But more importantly, we can tell you that our people are making progress, and the best way we can make progress is by us filling in our missing pages. History is very important to understand, and by understanding history, you'll understand yourself and create a better future for your community and your people. And this is one of the things we always strive to do at Missing Pages of History. Today will be a continuation of dealing with Black History Month, Part 2. We're going to talk about the history of racial capitalism. We will continue a discussion that we had last program dealing with how slavery built American capitalism. But first, before we do this, we'd just like to do some updates in terms of sharing with you some of the ongoing work and progress that Mr. Page's history is making. And that is that we would like to remind you to start next Saturday at 1 p.m. Don't forget, we have an upcoming raffle drawing contest, which will be Saturday, March the 5th at 1 p.m. at WCLM, 1450 AM radio station. Make sure if you have not purchased your ticket yet or your tickets, please contact a member of Missing Pages of History. You can do that by emailing us at missingpageshistory1 at Yahoo. You can call one of our members, or you can dial 804-726-3217. Also, we have an ongoing quarterly cap t-shirt drive. We'll be doing a lot of cookout, walk-a-thons, and having other events in our community. We are asking for your support by purchasing a t-shirt and a cap. Make sure you place your order now. This is an MPH cap t-shirt drive. This is going on now. Also, for new programs coming up, we will be having one program particularly we think you have an interest in that can deal with, it's a series that can deal with race, religion, and racism. That's right, the 3 hours, race, religion, and racism. That's a series that you definitely do not want to miss. And for this particular year, Mr. Page of History, our regional TV program will be scheduled for September the 14th to October the 12th. We will be having some very interesting programs coming on during that time. As we get closer to that date, we will remind you what the nature of the topics of those programs would be. So those are some of the activities coming up. And like always, remember, we need your support. If you'd like to make a donation to MPH, please feel free to do so by donating to MPH 8, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. As we said, we are building our communities through strong communication. We need your support. This is Missing Pages History. Right now, what we're going to do right now, we have our contributor and historian, Emmanuel. He will continue his dialogue, research that he has done.
I'm going to say
how slaves built America, and what we want to do, Emmanuel, we first would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Emmanuel. Can you hear us, Emmanuel? Okay, I think we might be having some problems with Emmanuel until we can get him back. What we're going to do is, since we are celebrating Missing Pages of History, for those who are listening to this program, we'd like for you to call in at 818-337-0016, and share with us maybe some of the history, some of the stories you think are significant that our people would need to know and should know. And what have you been doing for Black History Month this year? What have you been doing for Black History Month, or as we say, African History Month? How have you been celebrating it? So what we're going to do right now, we have a caller. We have caller 319. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Would you like to speak to your question? What have you been doing for Black History Month, or what article of history you'd like to share with the public, caller? Call them 9289.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to share some past black history information in this regard. A black lady by the name of Rebecca Lee Crumpler, who was one of our first black female physicians, and she was as a student at the New England Female Medical College. In 1864, she became the first black female to graduate medical school in the United States. After the close of the Confederate War, her mind centered upon, which was in Richmond, Virginia, Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler, who, as the Civil War raged in 1864, marked her place in history when she became the first black female to graduate from medical school in the United States. She received her MD degree from the New England Female Medical College, which is now called Boston University School of Medicine. On February the 19th, her alma mater, BUSM, celebrated the life of this pioneering black woman physician as the exhibit established in her honor was unveiled. She was raised by an aunt who provided care to the sick and made an imprint. At 21, young Rebecca moved to Massachusetts and worked years as a nurse. Physicians noted her dedication, skill, and intellect, replete with their letters of recommendations. In 1860, Rebecca Lee applied and was admitted to the New England Female Medical College. Dr. Lee graduated from medical school, married to Arthur Crumpler, moved to Richmond, Virginia, and worked for the Freedom Bureau. The Bureau was established by Congress in 1865 to help repair Civil War-torn communities. Among other services, it provided food, built housing and hospitals, and provided physician services. Declaring Richmond the proper fields for missionary work, Dr. Crumpler provided medical care to thousands of recently freed slaves who were routinely denied medical care by white physicians. The couple returned to Boston and she opened her practice at 67 George Street on Beacon Hill. The location yet bears a historical plaque in her honor. In 1863, Crumpler blazed another trail. She became the first black physician to write a medical textbook and the only female physician author in the 19th century's title, A Book of Medical Discourses in Two Parts. The book is a reference on women and children's health. Today, blacks constitute 13% of the U.S. population. According to the Association of Medical Colleges Diversity in Physician Workforce Facts and Figures 2014 report, with more than 834,000 physicians in the United States, only 4% are black. Per the Virginia Department of Health Professions Healthcare Workforce Data Center Physician Workforce 2014 report, whites make up 64% of Virginia population and constitute 67% of the physician workforce. Comparatively, Asians make up 6% of the population and 17% of the workforce. Hispanics, 8% and 3% respectively, while blacks make up 19% of the population and only 7% of Virginia's physician workforce. Given the ethics, health care disparities abound, and it is most likely black and other minority physicians who provide care to underserved, underprivileged patient population. The death of black physicians is palpable and problematic. It is not today's black youth lack the intelligence to become a medical professional, but there must be a systematic shift of focus from what she called being busy with a whole lot of nothing, social media, sports, hip-hop, and yes, crime, to an emphasis on science, technology, electronics, and math. Visible models are important. as a black female who grew up as poor, latchkey kid in a single parent home, the odds were against her. But she knew another first black woman, and by then, physician Dr. Doris Weathers had a self-determination to rise above medieval circumstances. Rebecca Lee Crumpler's courage and legacy continue to inspire. In 2012, 880 black women graduated from American medical schools, compared with only 517 black males, who also lagged behind Hispanic male physicians. 766 graduates in 2012. Dr. Crumpler broke so many barriers, she needs to be honored as American original she was, says Douglas Hughes, BUSM's Associate Dean of Academic Affairs. We can honor Crumpler's legacy with new, vibrant generation of black physicians. Her legacy deserves it. Communities need it, and the nation and the world need to see it. It is past time to change this part of black history.
Okay, caller, we'd like to thank you.
Okay.
We'd like to thank you for your story concerning Black History Month, and we do agree that Dr. Crumpler should be recognized and put in the books for her great accomplishment and example in the medical field as an African woman. Right now, I believe we have Emmanuel back. We'll bring Emmanuel back. Emmanuel, welcome to Mr. Pace of History. Emmanuel, are you there? Congratulations. When you read that particular story, how did it inspire you in terms of about you not knowing, now knowing what she has done? What kind of impact do you think it may have had on you in terms of future outlook when you begin to look at this whole question of African people in the field of medicine?
Well, looking at it and being that I work in the medical environment, it's the population for blacks has decreased so drastically over the last 10 to 15 years. The thing of it is, what I think we can do as a community, we need to encourage our young kids to go into medicine and the benefits of being in the medical field, which is going to be hard because what we need to do, we're going to have to start when they are little kids, when they still playing with dolls and that kind of activity. We can basically take those dogs and use as an example of allowing them things that can be done and to get them to have that interest in going into the medical field, how beneficial it could be not only to them personally but also to their communities.
Okay. Yeah, to our listening audience, you're listening to Missing Pages of History. We are continuing our series on Black History Month. Today we were scheduled to have continuation and dealing with this whole question of how slaves feel about capitalism, and more particularly we were going to talk about this whole question of enforcing capitalism through racial means and burial. We've been having some technical difficulties with our keynote presenter. We'll try one more time, see if we can get them in. But we also would like for you to call in at 818-337-0016 to share some story or what you have been doing for Black History Month with us. But let's see if we can get Emmanuel back in. We've been having technical problems. Right now, Emmanuel, can you hear us, Emmanuel?
I got no questions asked, man.
Emmanuel? Okay, I think we have some issues or problems. Let's continue and move forward. We'd like to remind those that Mr. Space of History is hosting his first raffle drawing contest this year, which will take place next Saturday. That's Saturday, March 5th, 2016, at 1 p.m. on WCLM 1450 AM radio, located out of Richmond, Virginia. If you haven't purchased your ticket, please do so by calling a member, or you can email us at missingpagehistory1@yahoo.com. or call 804-726-3217. Also, we just also would like to remind you that we have a monthly ongoing fundraiser drive where you can purchase you a cap and T-shirt. We're going to be doing many outside activities. We're asking all our friends and supporters and planned givers to purchase that cap by contacting us. You can go to our website at www.mphinc.org and purchase your cap and tick if you have not, or contact a member. Now, we have some interesting programs coming up for Mr. Page's History. One which I think you'll be real fascinated, we're going to do a series on race, religion, and racism. That will be coming soon, not only on the radio show, but also on our TV show, which will take place. We'll have our regional TV show will start this year from September the 14th to March the 12th. So please stay tuned. So right now, we have another caller been listening and waiting for a while. We'd like to bring this call in. We'd like to ask the caller, how has he been celebrating African History Month, or some would call it Black History Month? And maybe if he has any stories he want to tell us that relates to filling out his missing pages of history, our history books. We have with a caller 4298. Caller 4298, welcome to Missing Pages of History. How have you been celebrating Black History Month for this year, caller?
Well, the main thing I've been doing is trying to read up on the history of our people and the struggles that we encounter. And right now, I'm better late than never, but I'm reading Michelle Alexander's the new Jim Crow, and it's about the mass incarceration and how, without using racism out blatantly, they've managed to institute a lot of racist policies that cause for mass incarceration of Black and brown people. And I've been reading up on racism, and but I was looking forward to this show today. I really don't have a whole lot to say. I was looking forward to this show, and I don't want to take up too much time. Thank you.
Well, you're not taking too much time. You know, sometimes things happen. We have to make adjustments, so we're just making an adjustment. We will get the show in, and we will get Emmanuel on, if not on this one. Our next program will be aired on the March 19th. So we're making some adjustments, and we will continue to do what our people have always done. That is to overcome obstacles and continue to move forward. That's what we are done. Now, in terms of calling, in terms of you on the line and the other call of 9289, I'd like to raise this question with both of y'all. And this question is, many people feel like to have African history, Black history taught in the school system, you're being divisive. How do y'all feel about that? Call of 9289, recently in a city called Richmond, Virginia, there was some students who put together a little video film. It was animated. And I thought they did an excellent job on displaying the history of racism as it relates to people of color, particularly African people. And it created a big upstir in the school system here in Rucker County. They felt like it was very divisive, and it made European people, white people, uncomfortable. How you felt about that issue, caller 9289?
Well, I think it was actually pretty good in actually analyzing exactly how they really see us. Now, what did surprise me is that the school system didn't really review it before it was actually put out there into the public. And the only thing, when people realize that they're doing wrong, they don't want to see it. And that's, I think, what the whites got really upset about, was the fact that they actually probably, they could relate to a lot that was in that particular program, that cartoon that they did. So that's why they were upset, because they could realize that they carried on a lot of those tendencies and everything when it came even down to something as simple as running a race.
Yeah, I thought the video was very tasteful. I thought it was very historical accurate. I thought the symbolism and how they constructed it told the story of the reality and the history of our people in terms of why we didn't get started on a planned equal field and how things are done. And You know, I just found it very interesting. When it comes to African history, you know, black history, there's always a different spin on it. But we get other people's history all the time and nothing is said upon it. Caller 4298, how you feel about this question of when we present our history in these institutions, many people label it as being divisive. How do you address that criticism or that point of view?
Well, one thing, you know, it's kind of that white people, Anglo people get uncomfortable because we've been uncomfortable for centuries now. You know, we've been through slavery and all kinds of Jim Crowism and racism and double standards and stuff. And so, you know, we've been uncomfortable for a long time. So hearing that a few white people or Anglo people are uncomfortable because we're trying to project affirmative action and affirmative history of our people and try to use history to enlighten and liberate our people's minds and hearts, it's time for people to get uncomfortable. So I have no problem with people getting uncomfortable because, you know, reality is reality, and sometimes, you know, it plays on their consciousness because they feel guilty. And so I have no problem with it. Thank you.
Okay. Caller, this is Mr. Page in History. We welcome you to call in at 818-337-0016. Share your views and comments or share a story with us. We are continuing our series on Black History Month, and today we're scheduled to talk about racial capitalism, its history, and enforcement capitalism with our keynote presenter, Emmanuel. Right now we are having some technical difficulties of trying to connect with him. We're going to try one more time, but if not, we welcome you to call in. And if you have any views or comments, please hit 1. Let's see if we can get them back online.
Yeah,
Emmanuel,
okay.
Are you there? Can you hear?
Right,
Emmanuel? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Emmanuel, can you hear?
Hey,
okay. We're still having problems, Emmanuel. So what we can do, we can continue our discussion on this whole question of how have we celebrated African History Month or Black History Month, and if you may have any stories that you would like to share with us. This is a continuation of our series. In terms of caller number 9289, I'd like to raise this question with you. And just tell me, as a historian, living the life that you have lived in the year 2016, living in the United States of America, how would you describe, what would be your story as it relates to the history of what you have experienced in the life of African people in this country from a historical perspective, from your perspective? What kind of narrative would you write? What would you say? What were some of the things you would include?
Well, one thing, and this was just recently that I would include, that things haven't changed, that they really don't want to see us gather in a group. Even at an institution like a church, there was a couple of young men that were standing out in front of a church, and the police came up. And what he did, he sat in the car first, and he watched them and observed them. Then all of a sudden, he got out. And they told him they were basically just there. They were waiting for a function at the church. So instead of him believing they were there for a function, he actually went inside. And it just so happened that the gentleman in charge of the program asked the police, was there a problem, because they were having a program, and these gentlemen were just waiting for the program to start. Then he came out, and he still sat there a couple minutes, and finally he drove away. And the director talked to the gentleman that was standing there and were telling them that maybe in the future they'll have to just come straight on in the building, not to stand out, because if this particular cop stopped in because he didn't want to see them congregating there, then 9 out of 10, he's going to come back the next time and he's going to try to provoke somebody. So we can't even, this day and time, we can't even have peace where we just want to gather to talk.
That's interesting. It seems like there's a pattern throughout the country where law enforcement, they are constantly promoting people of color into some kind of action to justify, to terrorize them and physically mutilate them. That's, you know, that seems to be a a continuing theme for the last several years. And historically, more folks would say that historically has been that practice when it comes to our people. Caller 4298, as a historian, how would you write the life and the life and your perspective of living in America in the year 2016? As a historian, what would you leave back to people describing this time frame in terms of what life has been like for a person of color, particularly someone who was an African?
Well, I've had an interesting life. I've been in the left movement, so to speak, the socialism movement for since high school, and I'm 64 now, and I've been through a lot of experiences working for one of the progressive organizations. And I find that being black, it still has relevance. It still is a stigma. It makes you a second-class citizen, even in the progressive movement. People overlook you. They have other priorities, and you seem to be the last on the list when it comes to economic advancement and stuff. I find that kind of that's another version of the new Jim Crow. As far as I'm concerned, within my lifetime, I don't know. I don't want to get too specific, but I just think that that we have a lot of racism that even in this so-called post-racist society where everybody is proclaiming they're not racist anymore. There's no blatant racist like back in the Selma and Governor Wallace and Bull Connors and all that, where they were overt racist. Well, now we have white collar racists. We have people who run businesses and still, when all the dust clears, we're the last hide in the first fire. I find that very interesting. Now, we have a long ways to go in the struggle. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla, for your contributions to the show today. And we'd like to alert everyone that this is Missing Page of History. We are a biweekly program. You can catch us every other Saturday at 1 p.m. Our next program will be March the 19th, 1 p.m. In closing, we would just like to remind you that don't forget to purchase your raffle tickets if you have not. Our next raffle drawing will be next Saturday, March the 5th at 1 p.m., WCLM, 1450 AM radio. That's out of Richmond, Virginia, as well as purchase your cap and T-shirt. And you can do that by going to our website. Our website is www.mphinc.org. Please check out our website and some of the upcoming activities in terms of future shows. One particular show, we want to make sure that you stay in tune with us, that we'll be doing a series on race, religion, and racism coming up soon. And our yearly TV seasonal program will start this year on September 14th to August the 12th. And you want to make sure you check that out, which can be seen on Comcast, Channel 95, out of Richmond, Virginia. So in closing, we are continuing our series on Black History Month. We will try to reschedule the racism and capitalism, enforcing capitalism, the piece that deal with how slavery, American capitalism. That series will be continuing on the 19th, and we hope we will have made resolve our technical difficulties that we had with our keynote presenter, Emmanuel. He'll be back on the 19th. We thank everyone always for their support. And remember, please support MPH. You can send your contribution in to P.O. Box 27, 782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Where is there economic dependency, there can be no true freedom or independence. We need your support and we thank you. Until next time, let's always remember to strive to go forward and continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you.